Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence here in our church. Lord, what a wonderful place. What a wonderful idea that you gave us and command that you gave us to build a church and to gather together in a place like this. Lord, it seems like each and every time we come here, your presence is here. God, please don't take that away from us. Lord, fill our preacher with your power. May we have your power upon us as we listen. Change our lives so we could go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I've entitled the sermon this evening, Powerful Faith Made Practical. And the reason for that is I don't think that God intended for the things of God to be difficult for us. I don't think he wanted it to be beyond us. God wants this thing called faith to be practical and livable by the average Christian. Now, the subject this evening should interest you. You say, why so, Brother Owens? Because you're live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Those of you that are saved, you're to live by faith. So then this thing of faith is to affect us on a daily basis. We're to live daily by faith. Now listen to me, if you will. In Hebrews chapter 11, we refer to Hebrews 11 as the faith Hall of Fame. The Faith Hall of Fame. People found in Hebrews 11, though, are somewhat common people. You might, when you hear of a Hall of Fame, and look up here at me, please. Look up here. You may hear the term Hall of Faith, and you, when you think of a Hall of Fame, you may think of this some extraordinary people. And indeed, I don't want to minimize these people, but I do want to point something out to you. The people found in Hebrews chapter 11, this Faith Hall of Fame, they're somewhat common folks. I mean, Gideon's found there. If you know something about the history of Gideon, he was a frightened farmer when he got started. Moses is mentioned here. And I realize that Moses grew to greatness, because of faith. But Moses started out as an adopted boy, a fugitive for some time. Jephthah was an illegitimate son that was unwanted by his family. Don't get the idea that the Hall of Fame of faith are just these magnificent people. It's everyday people like you and I.
Right.
Usually the people who are historically enshrined or considered heroes are treated so because they did something great. But wait a minute. In Hebrews 11, the people are mentioned because they could not do something great. So they trusted God to do great things for them. The world picks a hero and says, look at what they did. In Hebrews 11, these people who are in the Hall of Fame for faith, we're looking at them and say, look what God did for them. There's a difference here. Listen, folks, You're going to need faith for a variety of reasons. We're to live it every day, but wait, there's coming a day when you're going to need some big faith. Tough times demand some tough faith. And you're going to go through some tough times. Let me read a verse to you. You don't need to turn to it. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse number 5, the Bible says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of..." I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time reading this verse. Let me start over. "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou treadest, then they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" And here's what the verse of me, it means. If you ran with the footmen and you're tired, how are you going to keep up with the horses? What's it saying? You're running in common events now and you're wore out. What are you going to do when the big events of life hit you? It says, and you're going to fall down. If you can't take it while there is peace, what are you going to do when war breaks out spiritually? So God is saying there are times when it's going to take more than what you personally have to offer. Now, we're to always live by faith, but let me warn you, there are going to come some times when you're going to be forced to live by faith. You're going to just have to do it. Hebrews 11 mentions running a race. These people in Hebrews 11, they reach their goals for God and God's goals for them because they had faith in God. They obeyed His rules. They didn't quit. They kept running the race by faith. Faith is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And God wants you to have powerful faith. Now, I'm going to make this thing simple, but if we're to live by faith, it's got to be understood. We've got to understand what we're supposed to do. So, let me say this. Number one, who can have this thing called faith? Who is it? Who's that for? Well, in Hebrews 11, if you studied it real closely, you'd find there are a variety of people mentioned here. There are men mentioned, which means men can have this thing called faith. Women are mentioned here, which means women can have this thing called faith. There are old people mentioned here. That means the old folks can have faith. But there are young people mentioned here. That means young people can have this thing called faith. There are kings mentioned here. That means the kings can live by faith. But there are common people, like you and I. They too can live by faith. There are blue bloods. You know, the royalty. They were to live by faith. But wait a minute. Even the illegitimate are mentioned here, so they can live by faith. Hey, the gifted people, they can live by faith. But again, the ordinary, they can live by faith. People just like you and I. What a mixture. It's funny how God, in Hebrews 11, there wasn't just one stereotype of people. There was a variety of people, men and women, the old, the young, the king, the commoner, the blue bloods, the illegitimate, the gifted, and the ordinary. They all had one thing in common, though. They trusted God. They trusted God. Moses, by faith, was transformed from an excuse-making fugitive into a great liberator and lawgiver. Gideon, by faith, was transformed from a frightened farmer into a victorious general. Right. Hey, and you're going to like this. Their past was not a handicap in regard to this thing called faith. If you'll read Hebrews 11, their past sins did not stop them from having present faith. Notice you don't see one of their sins mentioned in this chapter. The closest you'll come to is Rahab the harlot, but they were not trying to bash her. That was just a title that had been given to her. But you will see that in Hebrews 11, the hall of fame of faith, you'll see that their past sins are not even mentioned. Had they ever sinned? Oh, yeah. You look at the people mentioned in Hebrews 11, there were some pretty rough characters. I mean, Noah had gotten drunk, but he is still mentioned in the New Testament in this faith hall of fame. Abraham had lied about his wife on two different occasions.
Sarah had laughed at God and God's promise and then denied laughing at Him. Remember when she was nearly 100 years old and God had said she was going to give birth and she laughed. I don't know if that was a laugh because she thought it was funny or a laugh before she cried, but she laughed and then she denied that she had done it. Now wait, she laughed at God, but God still put her in the Faith Hall of Fame. Moses had lost his temper, but God still put him in the Faith Hall of Fame. David had committed adultery in the past, but God still put him in the Faith Hall of Fame. So, when we look at this thing, we ask ourselves, who is this faith available to? Who can have this powerful thing called faith? Men can, women can, the old can, the young can, the kings can, the commoners can, the blue bloods can, the illegitimate can, the gifted can, the ordinary can. Hey, people that have sinned in the past and hurt themselves can make a comeback and have faith. You can have faith. God wants all people, all ages, to experience the power of faith in God. So whoever you are tonight, whether you're here and you're listening right now to me in this auditorium, or maybe you're one of our workers that will pick up a CD later because you're in a nursery, or maybe you'll listen to it on the internet, or you'll order this CD, let me tell you right now, whoever you are, you can have faith in God, and you can have the power that faith in God produces. You're not left out of this thing. I'm glad that's the kind of God I serve. I am so glad. I'm glad God doesn't allow faith just for the blue bloods. I'm glad you don't have to have a bunch of talent to have faith. I'm glad you don't have to have a bunch of money to have faith. I'm glad you don't have to be a certain age to have faith. I am so glad that God offers this powerful thing called faith, and He offers it to us all. And so, I ask the question, who can have this great and powerful thing called faith? And I've given you the answer. Number two, let's talk a little bit real simply on what do we mean by faith? What is this faith? Now, let me explain something to you. Faith involves obedience to God's Word. Faith is obeying God's Word in spite of your feelings. Faith is obeying God's Word in spite of the consequences. Faith is obeying God's Word in spite of the circumstances. The faith of the people in Hebrews 11 was a faith that acted. It had movement. It had motion. Faith is not just a feeling.
Yes, sir.
That there are some people that you think you have faith because you sit around and you go, oh, I have faith. Ooh, I have faith. Oh, I have faith. Now, if you really have faith, you're going to get up and get going. Because faith is not just some mushy feeling. It's not just a mental state that you find yourself in and you begin to vibrate your brain about this thing called faith. Faith was a mental process that produced a physical act. A lot of people want to talk about faith, but they don't really practice faith. All they do is talk about it. All they do is admire it. All they do is dangle it out there and say, look at that, right there is faith. If you truly have faith, faith moves you. Faith moves mountains. Faith does not set and admire mountains. Faith moves mountains. That's what faith is for. Faith is motion. Faith is action. Let me show you. If we were to carefully read in Hebrews, this is what you'll find out. The people listed in Hebrews chapter 11, look at these verbs that are used. Abel offered a sacrifice. Now, these people are people that are listed in the Faith Hall of Fame. But it says Abel offered a sacrifice. That offer there, that's a verb. That's motion. That's movement. That's action. Something happening. Noah prepared an ark. How? By faith. Abraham offered up Isaac. That's movement. That's action. Moses left Egypt. Isaac blessed Jacob. There's action. Joseph made mention of the children of Israel. You look at the people that are listed in the Faith Hall of Fame, and you'll find out they just didn't sit around and admire the word faith. They didn't just understand what faith was. To truly have faith, you get this mental process started, but that process causes you to move forward. You do something about it. Faith is a verb. Oh, it is used, it's used as a noun in certain places, but it's not just there to admire, it's there to live. The just shall live by faith. These people had to control their emotions and their feelings and act by faith. I told you earlier, faith is you obeying God and God's word in spite of your feelings. Faith is you obeying God and obeying God's word in spite of the consequences. Faith is you obeying God's word in spite of your circumstances. And these people listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they went forward in spite of how they might have felt about it. They went forward for God in spite of their emotions. You take, for instance, they act upon their faith. Moses experienced the emotion of fear, and yet by faith he walked on dry ground through the Red Sea. He did not let the emotion stop him from the motion of going forward. Gideon's emotion of doubt, it was there. And yet by faith, he fought and won a war when he was severely outnumbered. But he fought it. And Moses walked. Noah's emotion of possible embarrassment was there. And yet, he by faith built an ark to prepare for rain that had never come on the earth before. When Noah was building that ark, it had never rained before. And he had that possibility of embarrassment with all the human race, but he by faith built an ark. You see, faith is not just a word that we admire, it's a word that we live. There has to be a step out. There's got to be motion for faith to truly be lived. Now, you can admire it from a distance, but you're to jump in and you're to practice faith, not just admire it. You're to live faith, not just talk about it. You're not just to look at that word and say, wow, that's a powerful word. It is not a powerful word until power moves you. You've got to be motivated by that faith. Hey, Abel had the emotion of the possibility of family rejection. And yet, he by faith offered a blood sacrifice that opposed his own brother Cain's belief. David, the emotion of fear of failure was there. And yet, he by faith battled and beat Goliath. Do you see what I'm saying? Faith is you doing it even though the emotions are there and stirred, and there is fear, and there is doubt, and there is a possibility of embarrassment, there's a possibility of rejection. Faith is not moved by emotion. Faith is moved by obedience. Hey, look, you can't run and stand still at the same time. Faith will move you. Faith will cause you to step out. Now, let me real quickly say, now our faith is in God. He is the object of our faith. The presence of faith in our heart is the assurance that we will receive what God has promised us. No matter what the consequence, faith gives us the conviction that God will triumph and God will come through. In spite of our frail human ability, we believe that God will prevail. Faith enables us to treat the future as if it's the present. Faith causes us to treat the invisible future as the seeable present. Faith, now let me explain something. Somebody once said, faith, that if you have faith, you're not going to have doubt. That's not true. That is not true. Faith is a mixture. You see, it is doubt that necessitates faith. Faith is a mixture of elements. Faith means there is doubt there. Then faith means there is belief there. So you have present in your life some doubt and you have some belief. You say, what's faith? Faith is when you step out on the belief and you walk away from the doubt. That's what faith is. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It is the presence of doubt. But it is you stepping out on your belief and turning your back on the doubt. Hey, if the doubt is there because of emotion, you step out by faith and you obey the Word of God rather than obeying your human frailties and you obey the Word of God. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It's the overcoming of the doubt that is present. So, I said this. I said, number one, who can have this great thing called faith? All of us. What is faith? Faith is doubt. Faith is belief. We step out on the belief instead of the doubt. Faith is where we don't let our emotions stop us from doing what God's Word tells us to do. We don't let the circumstances stop us from doing what God wants us to do. We don't let the consequences stop us from doing what God wants us to do. Our faith is in God. Our faith makes it so that which is in the future virtually in our heart comes to the present and we step out and we say, I'm going for it. I'm moving. Faith is a verb. It's action. It's moving forward. Number three. Now, how exactly does our faith work? How does faith work according to the Bible? First of all, faith comes from the Word of God. I'll use the term, it's a revelation. And when I use that word revelation, I'm not talking about some new revelation. We've got all the revelation we need. It's written right here in these 66 books. There's no new word of knowledge. We've got the old word of knowledge. And it was packed full and completed a long time ago. So, but faith comes from the Word of God. The basic theme for the entire book of Hebrews is this. God has spoken. Now, what are you going to do about it? If you really study the book of Hebrews, and I taught Hebrews when I was a college professor, and I'll promise you, one of the theme of the book of Hebrews is, now, God said it, now what are you going to do about it? It's a book about faith. What is faith? God said it, now what are you going to do about it? You don't have faith just because God said it. You only have faith when you see what God said and you step out because of what God said. So faith comes from the Word of God. Like I said, God has spoken. Now what are we going to do about it? Hebrews 12:25 says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. It tells us there, don't you refuse the one that spoke. Who spoke? God spoke. We dare not separate faith from the Word of God. God comes to us in His Word and tells us what He needs us to do. He reveals His will to us through the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God because it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God that will motivate your faith. You get your orders from headquarters and God sends it to you in this printed book. We have way too many people that are trying to find some mysterious leading of the Word of God of the will of God. But let me tell you, you're going to find out 99% of the time what God wants you to do right here from this book. Right here. So faith comes from the Word of God. It's a revelation. God reveals to you and to me what He wants us to do through this printed Word. Then secondly, faith comes from a walk with the God of the Word. I said, first of all, faith comes from the Word of God. But then faith also comes when we walk with the God of the Word. Now, the first one I said, that's revelation. Now, this is relationship. Our relationship with God. Walk with God daily by faith. Did you know something? Did you know the purpose of having faith is to please God? A lot of people miss this. The reason we're to have faith in God is because it pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Now, we have a lot of reasons why we want faith, but let me tell you something. The primary purpose of faith is just like everything else. We're to glorify God. We're to bring honor to God. We're to uplift His majesty. You and I, hey, I'm glad there are a lot of other reasons for faith, but let me help you here. The primary reason you need faith is because it glorifies God and it pleases God. Faith is not a tool that you use to get what pleases you. We are not to use faith in God to fulfill our will, but we're to use faith in God to fulfill His will. And that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, for he that cometh to God. Remember, all of this is just intermingled in all these teachings of faith. But in Hebrews 11:6 it says, for he that cometh to God. Now what is that? He that cometh to God is going to have the result. That result is faith. What is coming to God? That's a relationship with God. This is a fellowship with Him. Remember, I said faith comes by the Word of God. That's revelation. Then I said faith comes from a walk with the God of that Word. Now that's a relationship. You get close to Him, and that's what helps your faith. Abel was found at the altar. What is that? Close to God. Enoch walked with God. And these are people that are listed in Hebrews 11. Enoch walked with God. What's that? That's relationship. Samuel heard God's voice. What's that? Relationship. See, faith is in the Word of God. Then faith is in the God of the Word. And we build a relationship. And that's from where our faith comes. See, the better you get to know a friend, the more apt you are to trust him. So the more time you spend with God, the more you're going to trust Him. I seen a quote by D.L. Moody, and he said, I used to think that I should close my Bible and pray for faith. But now I came to see that I needed to stay in my Bible to get faith. Hebrews 11:6 talks about those that diligently seek Him. You got to stay in the Bible, because if you stay in the Bible, it'll help you with your faith, because by staying in your Bible, you're building a relationship with the God of the Word that produces faith. We're to have a deep desire to be with Him. Psalm 105 verse 3 and 4 says, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. God wants you to seek Him. And if you'll seek God, your faith will grow. So, I said this. I said, how does this faith work? First of all, faith comes from the Word of God. Secondly, faith comes from a walk with the God of the Word. Thirdly, faith comes from doing the will of the God of the Word. What is that? That's response. I got revelation from the Word of God. I got relationship with the God of the Word. Now I am to respond to what God and His Word told me to do. Faith is not a feeling. Now, I think faith can touch your emotions. But you better realize something. Faith is obedience to God in spite of your feelings, in spite of circumstances, and in spite of consequences. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out. Abraham made it into the Faith Hall of Fame because he went out into a land by faith. And the Bible says what produced or what gave him the right to be in that Faith Hall of Fame is obedience. Obedience. Remember this, faith is not just a feeling. There's more to it than that. Faith is action. It is obedience. So, remember this, we learn the will of God from His Word. That's revelation. We learn to trust the God of the Word by walking with Him. That's a relationship. Then as a result, we do by faith His will. That's response to the Word and the God of the Word. And here's something that's nice. Then that produces a reward. Hebrews 11:6 says He's the rewarder of those that seek Him. You say, what's the reward? Let me tell you something. The greatest reward is not that you receive what your faith produced. The greatest reward is that God received what your faith produced, and that it pleased God that you exercise faith. See, as a human being, sometimes we get mixed up. We think the great reward of faith is what we get. Truth is, the great reward of us putting faith in God is that God is pleased that we exercise faith in Him, and what you got out of it, hey, that was a byproduct. See, we're to look at it the way God sees it. When you exercise faith, God says, look at that. Wow, I am so pleased that you put your faith in me. And you say, I got a raise. I got a raise. I got a raise. And God said, you got more than that. I got a raise, God said. I got a raise out of you placing your faith in me. So you see, there's a reward in faith. But the biggest reward is not that monetary increase that you receive. It is what God received. God was pleased because you put your faith in Him. So, let me review. What is faith? What is faith? Well, faith is that mixture of doubt and belief, but we step out on the belief, not the doubt. Faith, according to the Bible, comes from the Word of God, building a relationship with the God of the Word. Then we respond to the God of the Word, and then He rewards us. But the greatest reward is that we please God. How does our faith grow? How do you grow faith? Well, let me tell you. Faith grows as we see God work through His creation. Let me give you a verse. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Listen, your faith will grow as you see all that God created and how amazing His creation is. I'll tell you what, when I get out there and I get to looking at how amazing creation is, my faith, my belief in my God gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Boy, I'll tell you, when I look at the mountains and I look at the ocean, and when I look at the animals that God created, something inside me just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and I think, you know what, we got a pretty powerful God. Here the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. See, our faith grows as we look at all the wonderful things that God created. How else can we grow our faith? As faith grows, we get to know God and His Word better. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. See, our faith in God grows as we see and hear more and more how powerful and true His Word is. The longer I live, the more I find out this book is right. The more I study it, the more I see this book is right, and my faith in Him grows and grows and grows and grows. Stay in your Bible, your faith will grow. Listen to the preaching, your faith will grow. Look at nature, and your faith will grow. Hey, faith grows just like anything else when we exercise it. James chapter 2, verse number 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. It's not talking about saving faith. We're not saved by works. The Bible says that we're not saved by works of our own righteousness. This is talking about, if you're going to have active, healthy faith as a Christian, you need to add some works to your faith. Faith without works is dead. See, dead faith needs exercise. It's like a muscle. If you have muscle, a muscle in your leg, and you don't exercise, that muscle will get weak and it won't carry you. And if you want to be a person of faith, you must exercise the muscle of faith. You must use it. You must step out in some things. And we're not just talking about reading about faith. We're talking about doing what faith is. The average Christian loves to hear the word faith. They love to hear it talked about. They love to examine it. They love to look at it. But faith is not just a word. Faith is action. Faith is movement. And if you're going to live by faith, that means you're going to step out and obey God no matter what. That's another way of building your faith in your life. So you'll build the faith in your life by looking at nature and looking at what God did and say, wow, I've got a lot of faith in the one that created all this. We will build our faith by looking in the Word of God and seeing how powerful and true it is. We will build our faith by exercising our faith. And folks, you're going to like it. I'm almost done. One last point. We're going home. This is my favorite part. Faith releases God's potential for you. Oh, I love this. I'm so excited about this. I'm not going to stay here long, but I just love this. Faith releases the potential that God has for you. See, we all have a potential. Everybody here, God has a big plan for your life. You say, but oh, Brother Owens, I'm backslidden and my life is messed up and I'm away from God. Hey, you've heard me say it 100 times. If you're still sucking air and you're still alive, that means God still has a plan for your life. Because if God was done with you, you'd be dead. So you are still alive, which means God has a plan for your life. God has a potential for your life. God has all sorts of things He wants to use you to accomplish. Now, your potential is not like my potential. My potential is not like your potential. But I'm going to tell you, your plan is as important as my plan. And my plan is as important as your plan. And you're to fulfill your plan. And I am to fulfill my plan. But it is faith that swings the door open to the fulfilling of your potential. So what do you mean? Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Be it unto you. Get this. David, the shepherd boy, he had no idea the kind of hero God would make him out to be. But he reached down and picked up some stones and by faith went out to fight Goliath. And the next thing you know, the door of opportunity swung wide open. He beat Goliath. He ends up becoming a champion and king. Why? He picked up some stones. By faith. By faith, David fought Goliath. David had no idea what God would do with David. But God wanted to see if David would take that little step of faith. And God watched David reach down. And I think God was sitting on the edge of his seat and said, boy, pick up the stones. Pick up the stones. Come on. I've got a plan for you. You're going to be amazed at what we're going to do together. David, pick up the stones. And he reached down and picked up the stones. And God said, whoa, this is going to be good. Boy, do I have a plan for you, son. Remember that, teenager. David was watching a young man, or God was watching a young man named David and just wanted him to pick up the stones. Why? Because it is an act of faith that helps us swing open the door for the fulfilling of the potential that God has and He's planned for your life. Noah had no concept of his historical influence on history, on the world, on Christianity. God just wanted to see if he'd pick up that hammer and be down to the church and do his carpentry work. God, that's all. God said, Noah, I want you to build something down at the church. You say, what? Is that simple? Yeah. It's going to rain. I want you to build something. And I think God sat on the edge of his seat and said, pick up that hammer, son. Come on, Noah. You do not realize what you're about to accomplish. Pick up the hammer. Pick it up. Pick it up, please. Pick it up. Historically, you don't realize what you're going to do. You're going to baffle the scientists of the generation of 2000 and 2010. They're going to be amazed that your story is still alive. All of history. Children are going to sing your song. Noah had no idea. But God sat on the edge of his seat and said, Noah, please, trust me. Put your fears aside. Put your emotions aside. Put the consequences aside. Put the circumstances aside. Pick up the hammer! And he did. And we sang about it and told stories about it. And Noah went down in biblical history because he had the faith to pick up a hammer. To pick up a few stones by faith. Moses had no idea that he would lead millions of people someday. He had no idea. None whatsoever. Oh, but the process that Moses went through. He had to trust God. He had to follow God. Moses, he went to God and said, God, I can't talk very well. I stammer and stutter when I talk. I don't think I can do this. God said, you got to step up and you got to talk. Just step up. Just like some of you. You say, but I'm not sure I can witness. Step up and do it. You don't know what the future holds. You may go down in history as the greatest soul winner that America's ever seen, but you've got to step up. You've got to put the feelings aside and the fears aside and say, okay, God, I don't think I can do this by myself. And God said, that's exactly what I wanted. I want you to realize you can't do it by yourself. I'm going to step up. And when your faith kicks in, I'm going to step up with you and we'll do it together. These people in the Faith Hall of Fame, they're not people that went down in history for doing great things. They were people that went down in history for not doing great things, but letting God do great things. That's all. They were a tool in the hand of God. And I'm telling you, my friend, faith opens the door of the potential that God has for you. What big plan does God have for you? What is it? It will take faith to jumpstart the plan. God's waiting for you to make your move. You say, oh, I have faith. I like faith. Oh, faith is good. Woo! Faith! Faith. I like faith. Oh, I respect faith. Oh, faith. Powerful. What a blessing faith is. That's not faith. Faith is movement. You didn't even have to bark about faith. Just get to moving. Get to moving. Faith is obedience. Oh, I won't leave out emotion because believe me, when you take the journey with God of faith, there's going to be some emotion, but emotion does not make faith. Faith includes some emotion. Will a lack of faith steal from you your potential in life? What is it? What big thing will you not do because you wouldn't step out by faith and do it? And I'm not talking about stepping out in a stupid way. I'm talking about guidance by the Holy Scripture. What is it? Faith. Faith. The Faith Hall of Fame. The just shall live by faith. Faith. For who? Old men, women, old, young, kings, commoners, blue bloods, the illegitimate, the gifted, the ordinary. Faith. For all of us. You personally are to live every day of your life by your faith in the Son of God who loves you and gave Himself for you. And that faith will help you to have the most fulfilling life possible, because it will swing open the door for the potential of God's will in your life. And nobody's ever happy unless they do the will of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.